Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Barbara P. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Tuesday, May 26th, and this is our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book. We'll be on page 40, second paragraph, Let Him Tell You About It, and ending with and keeping on guard. Today's readers will be our 12 steps will be Tanya P, 12 traditions, Kate F. Readers of the text will be Lou Ann C, getting us started. Shelley E will read our closing. Our newcomer greeter this morning will be Chanel T, and Robin P will be providing announcements. The reference numbers for yesterday, Monday, May 25th, 10 a.m. meeting, 23,487. The share ID for this morning's Tuesday, 7 a.m. Eastern meeting, May 26th, is 23,489. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. So here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. Tanya P., would you read those for us? Tanya, star one. Oh, Tanya, still can't hear you. See, one more shout out for Tanya's aid.
I am here. I'm so sorry. I got hung up.
No worries. We've got you now. No worries. Welcome back. Okay. Tanya P.
Tanya P. And these are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Thank you for your generosity. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood God. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood God, praying only for the knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do service and for waiting for me.
Great. Thanks so much, Tanya P. 12 traditions. Kate F., would you read those for us?
Yes, thank you, Barbara. Good morning, everyone. Kate F. from Washington State. Here are our 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me give service during this month of May.
Well, thanks so much. Kate F. from Washington State. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your share to the topic and literature we're discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone again. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. But today we're resuming our study of the Big Book. We are on page 40, paragraph 2, let him tell you about it, and ending with keeping on guard. So let's see. I am going to ask Luann C. to get us started with that paragraph. Luann, come on in.
Good morning, everyone. I hope you can hear me. I'm Luann C., and today I'm gratefully recovered in Boise, Idaho. Let him tell you about it. I was much impressed with what you fellows said about alcoholism, and I frankly did not believe it would be possible for me to drink again. I rather appreciated your ideas about the subtle insanity which precedes the first drink, but I was confident it could not happen to me after what I had learned. I reasoned I was not so far advanced as most of you fellows, that I had been usually successful in licking my other personal problems, and that I would therefore be successful where you men had failed. I felt I had every right to be self-confident, that it would be only a matter of exercising my willpower and keeping on guard. Yeah, this impresses me is his nonchalance about it all. You know, he'd considered the information that, you know, thanks for the information that he had gotten, but he still had self-confidence based on how he ran his life in other areas. And he was going to use the tools he used in that part of his life, willpower and vigilance. So in his retelling, he had not yet had the experience of being fully armed with knowledge and then falling in the pit in spite of the knowledge. You know, it was one thing for me to fall again and again when I had no idea why it was happening. But when I fell, even after having recovery and length of time being abstinent, that was when I fully realized that this thing was bigger and more powerful than any scheme I could come up with. And, you know, like Fred, that's when I called in the troops. You know, I had no confidence anymore in my self-knowledge. And that was the best thing to happen to me. You know, then I could see that abstinence was but a beginning. And then I could really start working for my new employer. And, you know, if you're a newcomer or you're a returning member, I hope you hear something today that makes you want to come back. There is a solution here. There is a way that really works. So I hope everybody has a great abstinent day. Thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thanks so much, Louie and C, for getting us started. Beautiful. So now we're going to go ahead and take a list of names of anyone who'd like to share. Although we value your experience, we do ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share on that paragraph today?
Jennifer G., California.
Gotcha, Jennifer.
Christina J.
Christina, got you. And there was somebody else. So I have Jennifer and Christina. Who'd I miss?
Nancy L.
Janice P.
Janice.
Thank you.
Linda H.
Linda, got you.
Janie G. in Michigan.
Janie. Right, let's get started there, and then we will have time for some additional shares.
Laura W. Okay, from New Jersey. Oh, sorry.
Okay. No problem, Laura. I'll put you on the list. So, okay. So let's go with these folks. We have Jennifer G., Christina J., Nancy L., Janice PM, Linda H., Janie G., and Laura W. And if I missed anybody, we'll swing you back around right after these folks. And if you would, just tell us where you're calling from so if people want to find you on the members list, they can find you. So Jennifer G., can you get us started?
Hi, I'm Jennifer G. from California. Recovering compulsive overeater. And so I've been completely abstinent since March 26, 2026. And so I was Fred not that long ago. I relapsed last year into this year, and it all started with the first bite. And I thought taking a bite of my abstinent food would have no consequence. And that just swung into the next bite and the next bite and the next bite. I was in complete denial that anything was even happening to me. And in this paragraph, it talked about subtle insanity. Subtle insanity was exactly where I was. I was listening to Vision every day. I had a sponsor, I was sponsoring, and I knew things just didn't seem right. And I did not want to give up the thinking that I had been abstinent since June 7th, 2023. I had been abstinent with a food plan. I was going to meetings, I was sponsoring. And so what happened was I too was back in the hospital, flat on my back, and I knew I was in trouble, and the first thing that I recognized was a bite for me is a relapse. It is not a slip. That was huge for me because I kept saying, oh, this is a slip. I can do this again. I won't take another bite. I won't do this again. I just kept doing that over and over again. and it just I just spiraled. And anyway, so admitting that I needed to start over to step one, and I learned that I had never really admitted that I had this disease. For 3 years sitting here listening to meetings, I never admitted that I was a compulsive overeater, that I was powerless over. And I was trying to do this on willpower. When I was having discomfort, I was living in that discomfort. I wasn't doing 10 steps. I didn't want to call people and work through my emotional turmoil of any day that I had, any problem that I had. So I had a lot of things that I wasn't doing that I've got to see this time. For me, it's a matter, I told my sponsor this morning, I'm in step 11 now. It's working. I have to work this program. So for Memorial Weekend, my goal was to do 10 steps. Anytime I have an emotional disturbance, I need to do a 10 step. Sit down. I have to write it out right now because I'm still new at it. And I have to, and I do have to, and I have to pray, and I have to give it to a fellow. And emotional disturbances are not good for me. So anyways, for me, going from this point to where I am today, it's doing the work. I have to just do it. And thank you for letting me share, and thank you for all who do service and for being here. And I pass.
Thanks, Jennifer G. from California. Christina J., you're up, and you'll be followed by Nancy L.
Good morning, everyone. Christina J. This paragraph is so loaded. I'm from Washington State, by the way. The subtle insanity which precedes the first drink. So for me, that's a double-edged sword, of course. I have an allergy. If I pick that up, I'm off to the races. Then there's the emotional buildup. And many people on the line say, if you put down the drink, you won't pick up the food for the emotional buildup. But for me, that took a while because I have an old habit pattern. And sometimes it overtakes God. Now, in 2020, I started in July with almost 3 years of abstinence and clean. But then we moved. We relocated across country. And slowly but surely, I was picking up little bites of abstinent food from the extreme stress of the entire thing. I would tell my sponsor, and she'd say, well, it's okay. You know, you're under a lot of stress right now. Don't worry about it. Well, that I don't know what that was about, because I would never do that to my sponsees. But regardless, it doesn't matter. That gave me, carte blanche to, you know, have that extra rice cake or whatever I was doing. And no sugar, no flour. But that slowly turned into what was a two-year trying to get it back in North Carolina. And it was brutal. But there, the line that really stands out for me, which really runs through my story, is there is no guard. You know, there's no guard. No matter what guard I put up, keeping on guard, that's a laugh for me right now. Keeping on guard, you know, I have to put down the guard and give up the fight. What a relief to put down the guard and give up the fight and surrender, abandon, walk away, turn away from the thoughts. You know, and until my God is strong enough within me in order to help me do that, I am on shaky, slippery, icy ground. And there's holes in that ice that I fall into. So what keeps me from falling into those holes is this program, my fellows. I got to stay in the middle of the herd and allow that God habit pattern, let's call it that, because it is turning to God, cultivating that relationship. Until I have that, I am on shaky ground and there is no guard. I just have to stay in the middle of the herd and stay safe. Now, thankfully today, during that time in North Carolina, regardless of the relapses, my God was getting stronger within me because I crawled to him all the time. And now I still crawl to him and it's getting stronger and stronger. And I've realized that, you know, the problem is in my mind. And, I can't do this emotionally or with my allergy unless I have that God, unless I have you guys, unless I have this program. And I have to realize that I can never abandon this program. I can abandon those thoughts that take me down easily, turn away. At first, it's not easy, but then you start to get awareness and turn away. We turn away from the belief that we can do this because we can't. We finally learn. And I had to be beat up, really beat up, I heard you, thank you, before I would really just do this. At first, it's just doing it. What's God? I don't know. But eventually, that all comes. Anyway, I hope this helps someone, and I pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Christina J. from Washington State. Nancy L., come on in, and you'll be followed by Janice P.M.
Oh, thank you so much. This is Nancy, recovered in Arizona by God's grace and mercy. And yeah, I remember quite a few years ago, I was in program, I was doing the meetings, I was abstinent and very, very grateful. And then it was time for my husband and I to retire and move. And for some strange reason, I just thought that maybe I got busy with the moving business, you know, and all the stuff you have to do and the selling of the home, et cetera, et cetera. And I thought, you know, I think this program has really been great for me, but I'm pretty good to go now. I really felt that. It was kind of like this arrogant, cocky feeling that all was well. And just think of what I'd be able to do with all my time, where I wouldn't be sponsoring and I wouldn't be having to go to meetings. And, you know, I was just letting that thinking take me right on down. And sure enough, we moved and the goose hung high for a couple months. I was doing well. Everything was great. I wasn't having no more weighing, no more measuring, you know, I'm free. And yeah, right. It didn't take long. I think what really woke me up was I started just to be real nasty to my husband. And I'm like, what is this about? Well, if you don't love yourself, it's hard to love anybody else. That's what I realized. And I was starting to put on the weight and just go downhill real fast. I couldn't get in the rooms fast enough. I've never even had an inkling of a thought from then. That was like 8 years ago to leave ever again. Never want to do that. Want to hang on to what is working. The 12 steps are working. Sponsoring is working, and having a sponsor and sponsoring and all of that. I love every minute of it, every minute of it. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Great. Thanks so much, Nancy L. Janice PM, you are up. And let me just repeat where we're at before you start. We're on page 40, the second paragraph. Let them tell you about it, reading that one paragraph. Janice, come on in.
And thank you for the invite. Yes, I'm Janice PM, and I live in Massachusetts, and I'm miraculously recovered compulsive overeater. Boy, oh boy, am I, Fred? He said he was convinced, and I was convinced also. I relate so much to this teaching of this chapter with these four stories. There's a commonality here with the four stories, and I'm going to shout it out from the rooftop, and it is lack of power. That was my problem. That was Fred's problem. We were convinced, I was convinced, I'm going to talk about maybe you too. I conceived that I thought I did, that, oh boy, I know all about it now because I've been in, I sponsored, blah, blah, blah. I could never go back to that again. I thought that abstinence would keep me abstinent forever. Well, abstinence does not keep me abstinence. I have to be abstinent, but it's not the solution. It's the beginning. I have an unmanageable life. By me. I am powerless over this particular disease and a lot of other things too, over people. But I had so much pride. That's the problem. I thought I was victorious. I thought that, you know, I have a high self-esteem. I excessively high self-esteem of myself, high opinion. That, oh, I'll be able to do it. Look, I'm successful. You know, I have the right. I'm entitled to this. But my disease is sly, sick, and wicked. And the whole thing is this believing in my mind of a lie. I thought that I, it's all about I, all about my ego, about me. I think what I for the results, my plans. I lied to myself for the truth. So when I lied, I believed my lie that, you know, I could do this time, because for all kinds of reasons and excuses, we know them all. But when I believe my lie as being the truth, what did I do? I, of course, made a decision. There we go. I made the decision to do what? To act on the lie. And yeah, all the information, you know, it didn't help me. It helps me to know that I am powerless, but I didn't know I lacked power. I was always striving to get that power and find the result. And I found out, Janice, you are no match for this disease. You are no match. You know, my personality, I misused all my instincts. I was prideful, the leader of the fall. Okay. And greed, et cetera, et cetera. I could not buy recovery. So what would be sought would be the 12 steps. And then I found the power. And with that, I passed. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Janice PM. Linda H., you're up, and you'll be followed by Janie G.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you for having this meeting and all that served behind the lines here. And for the prior shares, I mean, they just really ministered to me. I'm Linda H. from Georgia. I'm coming back for, I don't know, maybe the 100th time. I don't know. I've lost count, but this disease is wicked. And I can relate totally to this passage. That I, you know, you told, I listened to the shares. Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. But I was lacking power too. And I thought I had the power. You know, I know God, and I know He is powerful, but I wouldn't let Him rule in my life. I had it. My pride is big. It's large. And it's been difficult to bring that down. It's been difficult to rely on God and to pause and ask God for help. And I don't know if it's because I don't think He'll help me, but more it's because the disease overwhelms me and says, oh, just this one. You'll stop. No, not with my disease. I don't stop. I just really appreciate this this reading. It's just all about me. I don't feel like I'm self-confident, but I think it's really just thinking I can do it myself. It's all I. So I thank you for this meeting and for this reading and for the past shares. They've been wonderful. And I'll pass with that. Thank you.
It's Linda H. from Georgia. Janie G., you're up, and you'll be followed by Laura W. And then we will be taking some new more names.
Thank you. Wow, what wonderful shares we've had this morning. So rich. This is Janie G. in Michigan. And boy, I can really relate to Fred. You know, the first, in 2022, when I came in and I went through the big book with my sponsor and was taken through the steps, I could not relate in. Everything I read, I thought of my dad, who was an alcoholic, and I could not identify. And I remember reading these stories and just not being able to identify at all. You know, like the words jump out at me in this paragraph. He was confident. He was successful. He was self-confident. He had willpower. All self, all me. And, you know, when I came in, I was a good student. I mean, I almost wrote transcripts of every podcast I listened to, did above and beyond compulsively, just like I do pretty much everything else. But this is not a PhD program in the big book. It's not about me being a good student and like that. I just, you know, I transferred my my addictive and compulsive behavior to program stuff and all head stuff, you know. And the thing is, you know, that's not really what these 12 steps are about. I mean, like someone mentioned, you know, lack of power. That was my dilemma. I have to be out of ideas. I have to admit complete defeat. That's my step one experience. I have to just say I give up. I have to recognize my absolute bankruptcy and in order to receive the help that I really need. I mean, this is all about connecting with God. How do I build that relationship with God? And that's what the 12 steps help me do. That's what this is all about. It's not about what I thought when I came in, which is, you know, it was about becoming this intellectual guru on the steps in the big book and the history of AA and all of this, being able to name drop and have everyone be impressed with me. And, you know, losing weight and, you know, gaining popularity and attracting attention for that. It's not about any of that. Those things have to be smashed, just like my ideas that I can control my eating has to be smashed. The focus isn't on me, and it isn't on the substance even. Self-centeredness is the root of my problem. So I need to be delivered from the bondage of self. And there's only one who can really set me free from that, and that's God. And, you know, I'm resigned as the director of my life today, and I'm out of the outcomes business. So my focus is not on my food plan or my weight loss. It's on my relationship with God. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks so much, Jamie G. Laura W., you're up, and then we'll have time for some more shares.
Good morning. Thanks. Yeah, hi. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we sure can. You sound great.
Okay. I'm just letting my dog out. Okay. Good morning, everyone. This is Laura W. I'm a recovered compulsive eater, anorexic, and exercise bulimic in South Jersey, and it's great to be on a live meeting. This paragraph is really powerful to me. You know, this whole paragraph is about Fred comparing, not identifying. You know, like he's comparing himself. Like, I'm not so far advanced as you fellows. I've been successful in looking at my other problems. And you know what? I've learned over the years that self-sufficiency and arrogance is no match for this disease. You know, my ego, my arrogance, my thinking I haven't made put me in relapse 20-something years ago. And, you know, and it was bad. I mean, it was really bad. I almost died. And yet I was confident that I knew what to do because I had been in OA before. I had weighed and measured my food before. And, you know, I'm dealing with an addiction here. And Fred is just, you know, he was just free from the allergy. He wasn't free from the obsession of the mind. He hadn't had a spiritual awakening or an experience, so that was sufficient to bring about recovery. And he's just saying that I got it. And I'm slowly learning over the years that I don't have it. You know, I have one day. I have today. And I'm grateful that I have today, and I had yesterday, and God willing, I'll have tomorrow. But if I don't do what I did yesterday, I'm not going to get what I had yesterday. I'm not going to get a recovered, peaceful state, regardless of what's going on around me. And I heard on this morning's meeting, the 7 a.m., somebody shared really something interesting, you know, talking about it was just a matter of keeping on guard. Well, if I'm in a prison, they don't let me guard myself, you know, like they don't say, okay, here's your jail cell, you be your own guard. It doesn't work that way. And so that was just really, really funny for me to hear. And, you know, if I don't keep coming back, I'm not going to hear these words of wisdom, these beautiful pearls that help me throughout my day and remind me that, no, I can't do this alone. I would never have heard that if I thought I could do this alone, you know. So grateful to be here, grateful for another day, and thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thanks so much, Laura W. So we can go ahead and probably take about four more shares.
Tina W.
I'd like to share like this paragraph. Was that Tina?
Penny
was
D.
Penny D. I heard Penny, but I was
Rachel L.
The first W.
Rachel. Tina W.
Wendy,
I did get that. Okay. Sorry, give me one more.
Wendy M.
Wendy, okay.
Rachel L.
So here's who I do have, and let's see, was that Virginia O?
Rachel L.
So, and I had a Rachel, so that you may be the Rachel. Let me see. I have Tina W, Penny. I had a Rachel, so I'm going to put that as Rachel L and Wendy M. And then let's see what kind of time we have after that if we do. So Tina W, go right ahead, and Penny, you'll be up next.
So I'm Tina W, a recovered compulsive overeater from South Jersey. I live in a world of fantasy and defiance. I truly believe in my innermost self as a compulsive overeater and an addict, that I can control my destiny and my life, and that other people just aren't as smart as me or they don't know how to manage life. And so I've done that for years, my whole life. I've done that. It's been a shield, a protective shield of self-confidence that is subconscious, and I'm not aware of it. And so the big book's very explicit in telling me that once I'm done the steps, I live in steps 10, 11, and 12. So that means I have to live in steps 10, 11, and 12. And for some reason, that unreasonable and stubborn, self-seeking, defiant individuality and grandiosity will twist things around in my mind because I haven't accepted I have a twist of the mind and a physical allergy. I have to watch out for the twist of the mind. The only defense I have is to be aware that something's bothering me, to start my day in prayer, step 11, to end my day in prayer, step 11, to continue to help others. But taking out my dirty trash and saying it to somebody who's available, we have all these phone lines now, I could do a 10-step in 5 minutes and be done in 10 minutes. I don't want to do that because then I'm going to be scrutinized by somebody else. And if life is a game and it's a competition and we win in OA by being humble and not competing and not being anything other than what we are, compulsive overeaters, that doesn't make sense to me. I mean, I'm going to have to tell somebody all this stuff about me, and then I'm going to have to let that information leave when I'm off the phone. Yeah, that's what I have to do. And hopefully I'm doing it with someone else who does this on a regular basis, who isn't going to look at my dirty trash as I take it out to dump it in God's never-ending forgiveness, because I don't remember my 10 steps at the end of the day. If I do one in the morning, I can't tell you what it was at the end of the night. And I've been doing that for 5+ years, every day practically, because I have 10-step every day. And that I can talk to that person again and not be embarrassed. I have to keep my ego looking good, you know? And so for me to see that I have this issue, it's a battle. And this idea that nothing can happen to me because I can and do defy it is a delusion that I'm God and I like playing God. And so if I can see what the solution is, 10, 11, 12, and what the problem is, my grandiosity, my stubbornness, my unreasonableness, me perceiving everything as somebody not liking me or loving me, which isn't the truth, and being self-centered, it's all about me, and then do 10 steps, help people, talk to people, listen to them, take time out of my day to listen to them if I don't have a problem, then I'm going to be okay. What does that have to do with food? It has nothing to do with food. Food's my solution. Food was my solution for 55 years in some way, shape, or form. And now I know what the solution is. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks so much, Tina W. Penny, you are up, followed by Rachel L.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you so much. My name is Penny C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I live in the Boston area. This paragraph is about Penny. It's about me. I remember when I first read it, and I so related. The part that says I didn't believe that I could drink again, because, I mean, I like Fred, he had learned so much, so he thought that you know, maybe other people needed more, but he would never drink again. Well, back in the late 70s, early 80s, I lost a great deal of weight at Weight Watchers, and I was asked to work for the company, and I was the lecturer, and I stood there in front of about 80 people every Tuesday night. And I would declare more than once, I declared, I will never be fat again, because I learned what to do. And what I didn't tell the group is that what I was doing, because we had to get weighed in once a month at a big, meeting, and all the lecturers, everyone who worked for the company had to come and get weighed in. And, I got the prize for the one that was the lowest below goal weight every month. I had to be, I had to be the one to get the prize. And I knew what to do. What I would do is we'd get weighed in, and I was off and running for 2 weeks. I'd eat whatever I wanted. And then for 2 weeks before I got weighed in, I would literally starve, eat almost nothing. And that went on for a couple, 3 years. And I still stood there and said, I'll never be fat again. Well, my daughter got sick. She had a chronic lung disease, and I had to bring her into Boston, which at the time was about 20 miles each week. And I could no longer, with three other children, be able to do my classes. And it's no secret, I'm sure everybody knows what happened. The weight, the overeating, the weight came back on so quickly, because what was missing that I found out when I finally was led to OA is that I had a disease, and nobody told me that. It was all about willpower. And once I heard knew I had a disease, and that there was a power greater than myself who could restore me to sanity, because the way I ate was totally insane. The way I acted, the way I treated my family was totally insane when I was in the food. So like Fred, I had to find out. I had to stay with OA, and that first night when I heard I'll be done in just a second. When I found out I had a disease, I said to myself, you're a nurse, you know what to do about diseases. You find out what to do about it, and you do it. And with that, I'll pass. And thank you so much, OA.
Thanks, Penny C. Rachel L., you're up. You'll be followed by Wendy M.
Hi, Rachel L., compulsive overeater, official multiple 100-pounder of San Diego, California. And this is so crazy because I was in relapse for almost 5 months because I kept telling myself, tomorrow I'll get clean. Tomorrow I'll stop. Let me just binge my brains out tonight. Let me just finish these snacks. And when I'm done with these snacks, I'll stop, And it started with picking at food, because I lost my housing. I lost my car. My best friend passed away. And I kept justifying, well, it's just a snack. It's just a snack. It's just a baby piece. It's just a baby piece. And baby pieces led to toddler pieces and then, full adult pieces of food. And it was nonstop. And then what was I doing? I was back to where I started. I was sitting inside of a nursing home, binging on my alcoholic foods, looking out a window going, oh my God, deja vu, I've been here before. When I was over 600 pounds bedbound in a nursing home, crying to a God I didn't believe in, what is wrong with me? And I go, I can't do this anymore. And I said, tragedy is not a reason to eat. Tragedy is not the excuse to relapse. Just because something happens, I have this, this hall pass to do what I want. And it was so funny because I kept saying, you have no time. You have no time to weigh and measure. You have no time to go to meetings. You have no time to anything like that when I was out, living day-to-day life. And they always say, when God tells you to sit down and you don't, he'll make you, So that's what happened when I started getting too big for my britches, saying, well, I don't got time for OA. I don't got time for it. So I started putting everything in front of OA. I lost everything. And he made me sit down, and now I just had back surgery, and I'm sitting in a nursing home, abstinent, because I sat here and went, well, what am I going to do with my time? Go to meetings, make outreach calls, do what I got to do, time to reset, and it has just been amazing. I used to say, well, I hate morning, so I slept until noon. But now I'm up at 5:30 in the morning calling my sponsor, doing my homework, and being on Vision for You. And it has been amazing, and I'm feeling myself again and stuff like that. I have 12 days of abstinence, and it's just been, you know, it's harder every time to come back. And this last time was brutal coming back, withdrawals and everything. I don't want to do that again. So, you know, I think always for me is the last, you know, house on the block for me. So I think I'll just stay here or that all pass.
Oh, thanks so much, Rachel L. We're glad you're back. Wendy M., you are up.
Yes, good morning. Wendy M., recovered in Boulder, Colorado. So grateful for your service and everyone on the line. The shares have been phenomenal. So I really obviously resonate with Fred as most, and I come from this like well-educated family. So, you know, he's using well-educated words like impressed, and it would be possible for me. And, you know, I reasoned, and he just sounds so good, right? Like I'd believe him. But what he's doing is he's lying, but he's lying using really big words that look really, really, what's that word? Like I would believe him, very believable. And that's sort of how I lived my life, right? Like if I sound really good and I look really good, then I don't have to do what you guys do. Cause for me, my life was the rules don't apply to Wendy. They just don't, you know, I'm different than you. And more importantly, I don't belong to your club. And it's just, yeah, it just doesn't apply to me. And, you know, there's so many ways to lie, and he's lying so eloquently that, you know, you would think he's right. But I know my experience is that I have to take step one. And these pages are about taking step one. And I have to tell you that, like, it's exhausting being special. It's exhausting not belonging. It's exhausting lying about my food and everything else in my life. It's exhausting to figure everything out, right? This is exhausting. Like Fred's going to be exhausted, right? Because he has to run the show, everything. He has to run it all. He doesn't need anything. And that's how it was for me until, frankly, I hit Vision in 2015. So for me, step one is what a relief. Wait a minute. I don't have to do anything. I don't have to figure out anything. This is really good news, you know. And the food, the simple food, I'm working with a very newcomer right now, and the simplicity of just turning your food over, surrendering, what are your red light foods, being honest about those things, you know, and food is about honesty and food is about surrender. But step one is about what a relief. I get to get out of the way. I don't have to figure out anything in my life. I'm talking about anything. God's going to solve all my problems today. And actually, Fred says that later. You know, and it's an amazing life when you just enter that realm, that technicolor, where you say, I'm going to turn it all over. I'm going to be completely honest. And, you know, when we do that and we just take direction, right? Because this is a program of change. So if I'm going to change, I have to do different to get different. You know, so that means, I mean, I make at least 3 calls a day. I do a lot for these programs that I'm in. But what is the life that I get? I get sheer freedom. When I get out of the way, whether it's with food, turning it over, being honest about my food and eating, you know, here's the thing. Once my food is settled the night before when I send it to my sponsor, I don't think about food all day. I don't think about food at all. I just know like when I eat my meals, but I am free to be useful today. I am free to enjoy a life. I have freedom today because I'm out of the way. There is no self. This is exhausting, figuring it out. The rules don't apply to me. I don't belong. I can figure it out. And by the way, I didn't have 1,000 pounds or 100 pounds to lose, right? I had maybe 50 pounds in the beginning. And now usually if I relapse, it's like 10 pounds or something. So I don't belong, but I can't afford that. And thanks for letting me be of service, I hope. Thanks.
Oh, thanks, Wendy, for closing us out. Thanks to everybody. Like Wendy said, phenomenal shares this morning. Thanks, everybody. We'll now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And will Shelley E. please come on in and read that for us. A Vision for You, our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Absolutely. Good morning, everyone. I'm Shelley E., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Petoskey, Michigan. The Big Book, page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little.
God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is great, is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Thanks for